Delta Mobile.
AWKK4, FTU Mobile, how are you doing this fine afternoon?
FTU in a long time. I'm doing good. Weather's not so great, unless you're a duck. How about you?
I'm away from BMW for a little while. Got to get rested up, because they're going to hit us full throttle when I get back.
Supply chain management problems are pretty much behind us, so Katie Bartledore, here comes the workload.
Right up until the end, they only slowed us down to 440th a shift, and the last week we were doing 450 a shift, which is only like 30 to 40 less than what we normally do.
In one shift, that's a lot.
Enough to be a supplier, you have to be able to supply enough parts to feed that site for 5,500 cars a week.
For them to start up and get it rolling for 2023. The BMW, I know Tesla doesn't have the chip problem, and I don't think BMW had. You know, some of the car manufacturers canceled their chips, and that's why they're in trouble. The ones that didn't, they kept their orders the same throughout COVID, aren't having any chip problem because nobody retooled. The chip manufacturers didn't retool. Is BMW in the Tesla class or the GM class?
A few hiccups. Like I was telling Rusty, we had a few hiccups with the infotainment system for a couple weeks or here and there, but most of the time we didn't have any trouble getting parts.
How about the market share? Market share stay constant too?
The low end that we make it over on the site slacked off, but the high end didn't.
Inflation, right? That's what inflation is. The people have too much money. They don't want to work. They can buy whatever they want. They got a bunch of money saved up. That's why they hiked the interest rate, to take the money out of the pockets of the people. Because people got too much, they get fat, dumb, and happy. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. When they raise that interest rate, that takes their money away, and they think, oh no, I got to get back to work. So yeah, that chimes in perfect with inflation being so high.
A lot of that comes from the present group that's up in Washington don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. It caused a lot of issues with their fuel issues.
I disagree with you. Respectfully disagree with you. They don't have anything to do with that. They don't have any control over that. Doesn't matter what president's in office. That's not the issue. There are other issues, and that's a global issue. Everybody suffers with the fuel issue. So respectfully disagree.
That's the one that stopped them from producing on federal lands and is not letting anybody build any new refineries. So I beg to differ with you there.
He is, you know, clean energy and all that stuff is, they did overdo it. I'll agree with you on that one. They overdid it on the clean energy thing. You can't cut over till you're ready. So, yeah, they probably overdid a little bit in that area. But that wasn't a catastrophe. That was, okay, that's a little bit too much, back off a little. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't anything to get your in a wad about.
Enough cobalt and lithium in the world to supply everybody with an EV.
There you go. Well, that's another problem. The biggest lithium mine on planet Earth is in North Carolina, and it has way more lithium than we'll ever need. The only thing is, you've got to be careful about how you get it out of the ground, because it could cause people harm. And the way people are so happy in this area, in the United States, you got to be careful with that. You got to take in all things considered, right? Just getting mad at one entity and saying they're pointing the finger at them and saying it's you, that's just not the right thing to do. That's wrong. That's the absolute wrong thing to do.
That forced EV, when you don't have the infrastructure in place, is definitely the wrong thing to do, because there's people in California that are struggling to keep lights on in their houses and heat and cooling going, and they're not going to be able to charge their EVs.
They overdid it, and there's a lot of them, and that doesn't have anything to do with just the people that are in the administration. That has to do with the majority of the people in the United States that decided they wanted to take it that way, and we're all part of that majority. Either, you know, I mean, we're split so close to down the middle that each side has to respect the other side, and lack of respect for the other side is what we used to not have back in the 70s. And now we have it. We've got to fix that. And that starts with each and every individual like you and me.
Well, it starts by the idiots in Washington that are preaching this stuff to start living by it. I'll believe an EV when Air Force One becomes an EV.
To say all the time is when you try to solve a complex problem with a simple solution, that's the worst thing on earth you can ever do, because all you do is make a whole lot more problems. You can't boil something that's that complex down to something that is that simple. Say Air Force One is an EV, now I'll switch. You can't do that. That's not being responsible with your thought process.
Flying all over the place for nothing, which is what he's been doing and what Obama did. They like going on vacation on our dime, and I'm tired of paying for somebody else to do nothing.
Okay, that's back to one of the things Mike said. Ford, Chevy, or Dodge, which one's better truck? Nobody will ever win that argument, so we'll just let that lay right there. How's that?
On that issue, kind of depends on what you're wanting it for. If you're wanting towing capacity, I'd say the Cummins is better around town. But if you're wanting long haul, I'd say Ford and GM are better on the long haul for heavy loads.
Well, what's the best airplane if you're a private pilot?
In the air with ammo in it and fuel.
Trying to get you to see a different size. Take a step back, walk to the side 4 steps, take a step forward, and look at it from a different angle. That's all.
I understand that. I'm not getting upset at you. I respect your thoughts. Have you seen the new Top Gun movie talking about airplanes?
The new Top? Oh, yes, absolutely. Saw it twice already, once in the movie theater and once at home. I didn't think they'd be able to do better than the first one, but I got to give it to them. They did a jam-up job.
I have to say I like the first one better, even though it did have 200 uh-ohs in it that if you watch it multiple times you can catch, but it's still a good storyline. Yeah, it was my only gripe about the new one is it took them so long to get it out for people to see it.
It builds up more anticipation. I really wasn't that into going to it to see it, and my wife is the one that she just kept on saying, come on, we're going. So, okay, all right, we're going. So we went, and I was glad she was persistent about that because I really enjoyed it.
I didn't go see it in the theater. I actually saw it on TV at my in-laws, and it was worth watching. I don't know that I'd have spent what they want for a theater to see, at a theater to go see it, but it was worth watching.
It's another thing, that's probably been 15 years since we had been in the movie theater. I think the last one we went to is when I had an apartment in Oak Ridge before we met, and she moved in with me over there, and we lived there for about 4 years, and then we moved out, got a house. And I think we were so close to the movie theater over there off Pelham Road in 85 that we could just walk over to the movie theater. I think after we moved away from there, we quit going. It's been like 15 or more years since we've been to a movie until that one.
Hit you up for filling out an application for financing to go see it, because last time I went, it was like $25 just for two of us to see it without any popcorn or drinks.
And it was going to hurt. So that kind of, you know, set me up for success, knowing that it's going to be hurtful. I think we got out of there I think it was about $75 for everything.
EV, I heard last week that BMW's gotten in with some scientists, I think out of Colorado, working on a sodium-type battery.
Steinberg, that used to work over there, he came over to the U.S. He stayed here for about 8 years, and he went back about 4 years ago, went back to Germany. But he stayed over here for about 8 years. He brought one of the first BMW EVs out to the airfield before WCRC lost their field. he took me for a ride in that thing. And Richard, you know those cars that you tape $100 bill to the dashboard and say, if you can grab it, it's when they're taking off. Shame.
It's a great straight line. They're great. But I don't think they do so well handling, and it's going to be awful on the roads because they weigh more. But my issue with BMW is they're not true hybrids. You have to plug them up to charge them. They don't have any regenerative capabilities and don't have any generator on them to charge it back up.
They didn't either. It wasn't even on the market for sale yet. He was just testing it and bringing it out there. He's a great pilot, flew out there. We flew multi-rotors before DJI got popular, and we're going for long distances, and then the FAA stuck in and did a bunch of rules that kind of squashed what we were doing. But anyway, that was a pretty good experience with EV, with the first BMW EVs. But now there's a new battery that's coming out now. It still requires a little lithium, not near as much lithium. And instead of the nickel, and there's one other ingredient that is hard to find, it uses sulfur. And it actually has less tendency to burn. If it burns, if it catches on fire, one or two cells will burn out, and that's it. It shuts itself down automatically. It goes like 10 times further and takes like one-tenth of the time to charge. And they're new. They're brand new. They're just coming out. And that's what's going to replace lithium polymer and lithium ion, is lithium sulfur.
Well, what I heard on the news, and this is over public airways, it wasn't anything that BMW gave me out there, was that they were coming out with something that used sodium. Now I'm thinking, that's going to be interesting, because sodium can't touch water.
Has a lot of different types of vehicles. They've got a one that runs on hydrogen, liquid hydrogen. And each one of them has their own ups and downs. But, you know, if nobody tries anything ever, we'll always be stuck with what we've got, and we'll never make any progress. So you got to try different things. So they tried a hydrogen car. And when you park it in your garage, it's like if it stays there for 3 weeks, a full tank of hydrogen will boil off and go. It's got to maintain negative 256 degrees in order for the hydrogen to stay liquid. And it can only do that for so long if you don't drive it. So if you leave it sitting, it'll use a whole tank of gas in a month just sitting in your driveway.
I think back in 2005 they came out with an X5 that was hydrogen-fueled, and I think they're still working around some of those, but that goes back to the infrastructure. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with that.
You're right. We don't have the infrastructure, and furthermore, we will never have the infrastructure if we never take the first step. So you gotta go against the grain. You gotta take the first step. You gotta do what is the unpopular thing, and try it. And you know what? Once you get into it, you find out that things are a whole lot different than you thought they were when you were going into it. That's called R&D.
Figured out how to make solar work at night, and that's one of California's problems. Texas found out with all of their new stuff being renewable a couple of years ago, it bit them in the rear end because they couldn't support it. And that's my biggest deal, they keep pushing everything to renewable. Yeah, I agree we need to be renewable, but be mindful that you can't go total renewable unless you can control all of the variables.
It is. That's true. And they did overdo it, and they did take a step back. And, they finally recognized they overdid it, and they did take a step back. And now it's like, okay, so when do you think we'll be ready? And that's called persistence. And that's a good thing, too, right? That keeps people moving. It ruffles feathers, and it makes people angry, but it keeps them off of their comfort zone. And that's what you got to do, is keep people nudged. You can't have too many people settling in that comfort zone, or we won't be number one anymore.
Been having rolling brownouts and blackouts for what, 10, 15 years now, because they've been so slack about dealing with it, increasing their stuff with electricity, and it takes 10 years to get the rights for power lines, high tension power lines, and all that up. So I don't know. Hopefully they'll figure it out before they fall off in the ocean.
Back in Japan, I had two teams out there, one in Monterey Park and one in Mission Valley. That's L.A. and San Diego. And they had, there was a data center. Data centers were on site, and they had those data centers totally backed up with generators and had generator power there, and they could run for days on generator power for just that scenario, because that's one of those situations where you can never go down. So, yeah, they had to make a huge investment in generators, but they did it so that they could compensate for that problem. And they would come on automatically. You'd never even know it. They'd come on when the power went down, and they'd go off when the power came back.
Yeah, I would stay over at my in-laws, which is over just basically across the road from BMW over off of Victor Hill Road. Christmas Eve morning, about 8:30, the power went off because the heating systems couldn't keep up with and the cold that morning, and it didn't come back on until almost 2 o'clock.
And there was nothing, no backup generator?
I'm not, they have a small generator, but it wouldn't pull the heating system.
Telling us about that at our club meetings here lately. He's got me talked into making it so that I can plug my generator into the house and not have to run jumper wires or extension cords all throughout the house when the power goes out. And I bit the bullet on that. I started doing that, but then some more parts came in for a different project I have on the table, so I had to move that aside and finish that one up, and then now I'll go back to this other one.
You have a disconnect, so you can disconnect the meter from the house, and you basically transfer the power from the generator in through, so where you can choose which circuits to have power.
Yeah, that's so that you don't, recognizing David, that's so that you don't backfeed those linemen when they're on the pole. And there's a mechanical lockout, and there's two ways to do that, one with a mechanical lockout and one with a transfer switch. And Johnny wanted me to go right to the transfer switch, and I said, no, I want to walk before I run. So he's conceding to let me go to the mechanical lockout so that you can't be on generator power unless your main is thrown, and you can't be on the main power unless your generator is out of the loop. Go ahead, David. W4DJW.
Yeah, I was just gonna comment that you got to shut your main off when you do that. I've got an external plug in my house. I got a 50-amp plug. I can plug my generator in. I shut the main off and all the 220 breakers off, and I can pretty much run my house on that. Yeah, and you're right. You got to be careful about backfeeding out to the pole. You'll knock somebody off the pole if they're working on it.
Go ahead, Richard.
Don't want to knock any linemen off because they got a dangerous enough job as it is.
Where? If those two hit each other in the head, your generator power hits due power, somebody's going to lose.
Generator's going to lose.
Exactly. That's probably what's going to be toast. That or the line between the transmission line.
Is too. If you have a gas furnace in the house, that will run off the generator because that's only 110 volts. And it doesn't pull a big amperage, it only pulls a couple amps. So if you have a gas furnace, you're in good shape for the generator. You're fine.
Both of you checked to see if you had it at the same time, and both of you went. So Richard, you go, and then David, you follow.
Okay, then. It was a good discussion. W4DJW, and we'll say 73. Do it again sometime, kick it.
All right, Richard. Good talking to you. I enjoyed it. Sometimes it's good to dig deep, but keep it civil. Talk to you later. Go ahead, David, W4DJW.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to do that. But, what I was saying was if you have a gas furnace, that will run off the generator, no problem. You just got to make sure your generator is grounded so the flame sensor inside the furnace can, is grounded properly. And then it'll run. It only pulls a couple amps. It's the heat pumps with the backup heat. That's the ones that have a hard time with the generator.
Upstairs heat is gas. My upstairs heat is electric. So my downstairs heat has a single pole breaker, a single pole. I forget what the amps. It might be 20 or something like that. It's not much. Like you said, it just runs the fan. So I can keep my downstairs heat on, which I've never done that before. I just turned the chimneyless fireplace on, and it keeps the whole house warm because, you know, it warms the downstairs, and downstairs warms the upstairs. But Johnny was telling me, yeah, your downstairs heater, there's no reason you can't run it if it's gas.
Oh, yeah, well, that 25-amp breaker or 20-amp or whatever size furnace you have, you know, those blower motors, the induction motors, they don't pull much, you know, an amp, maybe 3 amps while everything is running. And then, you know, the igniter will come on. You know, it's either a glow igniter or a spark igniter, and once it's lit off, it's good to go, you know. It will run fine. Like I said, the only thing you got to be really careful of is the grounding. You have to ground the generator to make sure that the furnace is grounded so that your sensors in there will work properly.
I know about that. That's why I'm following his directions. I'm just buying the parts basically and doing the mechanical stuff, and then when it comes time to hook up the electrical, he'll be there on site. I'm just trying to save him as much time as can be by going over him the parts list, the bill of materials, get all those parts, build the box for the outside connection, you know, do all that mechanical stuff, the mechanical lockout, you know, take the faceplate off of the main breaker and add the hardware for the mechanical lockout of the main. That kind of stuff I can do on my own, but actually verifying the wiring is correct and the grounding is correct, I'm going to rely on Johnny for that.
Yeah, I mean, all you need is 30 amps to feed the house. Hold on a minute. I've got the 30-amp first lock plug, and it's a water-tight, you know, box outside, and I just drilled a hole through my brick and wired right into my panel, so... You know, it's pretty easy peasy. You know, you feed it with a 30 or 50 amp dual breaker, and you should be fine.
What I was going to use, but he said you might want to update your generator at some point in time to use the 30 amp on the generator, which it has. That's the socket. And instead of putting 30 amp through the wall, he said use the 50 amp. And that way, if you decided at some point you wanted to go up on your generator, you wouldn't be limited by that plug. So I guess I'll do that. It's not that much more money for the 50 amp plug. There was one other. Oh yeah, my breaker box is full. I don't have room for one more for the generator, so I've got to go with a breakout breaker box, a sub panel, and basically do the same thing you're talking about, but just add a sub panel and put part of the breakers that are going to run off the generator through that sub panel, and the other ones through the other one. That way, I don't have to go flipping off 220 circuit breakers.
Yeah, well, heck, you just shut those off, you know, and shut all the 220 stuff off. You know, your dryer, your stove, or whatever runs on 220, you know, just shut them off. And then the 110s will be fine. You know, those will feed your lights, your fans, your refrigerator, and what have you, you know.
Over here at Schlossky's, it took me a long time to get here, but I'm going to place my order, and then I'll be back. Appreciate you jumping in there, W4DJW.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. I'm sitting at the bank here, so doing some financial stuff, and then got to hit one more customer, and I'm heading to the house. Dave Mobile.
DJW, I'm mobile.
KB2H Access.
You still at the bank?
Done at the bank.
That's stepped on you.
I am done at the bank. A cookie.
Cookies, my daughter used to say that to me all the time. When I'd say I'm done, she'd say, cookies get done, people get finished.
Wow. That's funny. I gotta steal that one.
She came up with some good ones every now and then. I guess she got those at school. Kind of like all the viruses she brought home from school.
Why do you have to go there for it? Yeah, so I am through at the bank.
Finished was the word.
I am finished at the financial institution.
Agenda. You going to go flying?
No, I don't have an airplane. I don't do the radio control stuff. I'm actually going to stop at the customers. I got to suck out a drain pan and hook up got a leaking drain line off a furnace. 96% furnace is leaking. So I got to see what's going on there.
All work and no play, right?
Makes Dave a dull boy. What?
That's it. You need to get some airplane time in every now and then.
I don't have any airplane. I don't do any airplanes.
Did Steve hadn't talked to you into that yet?
If I start buying radio-controlled airplanes, my wife will cut my throat. She'll make me sell all nine of my guitars.
Oh, everybody's got to have a hobby.
I've got too many. I've got my radio hobby. I got my guitar hobby. I got my trains. I got, a few other ones. But, the planes, I used to do the U-Fly-ems, around and around and around years ago. But I never got into the radio control stuff.
Silk span and balsa wood and dope. That and the monocoat and all that stuff.
That's okay. I'm dopey enough.
Fan and dope, or did you start off with monocoat?
It's just, they were the plastic small models I used to get. No, I've never did the, I never did the big balsa wood stuff.
So you do trains, though? Do you have trains that go from room to room?
No, not yet. I don't think the wife will allow that just yet. I've got a board set up with my Lionel set. My previous marriage, I kind of lost all my trains. I had the big LGBs and the HO sets and all that. But I've got my Lionel's right now, which is the old 27 gauge, and I increase in my bike cars and stuff every year. So eventually, I'm going to set it up more permanent in the basement.
That flew airplanes, and I went over to his house one day, and he had trains that went through the external, through the backyard, had big moats that would open and close, and going over ponds with turtles and fish in the pond, and train come back inside the house at the other end of the house. But this thing, these trains were like, they weren't big enough that you could sit down and ride on them, but they were about half big enough to do that. A kid might be able to.
Yeah, that's the big LGB stuff. That's what I have. I started it. That's the big G scale. I started assembling stuff like that in Florida, but unfortunately, they went bye bye in the divorce. But I'm going to rebuild that set. Anyway, Dave, let me get out of here. I'm at a customer's house. I'm going to get in and take care of this and get the hell out of here and go home. W4DJWKB2HXS.
All right, Dave. Good talking to you. And enjoy the rest of the day. KB2HXS, W4DJW Mobile.
Catch you later, 73.
WHM Monitoring.
Bill, how are you?
Hey, everything going your way?
Not at the airfield, but it started raining. How about you? How are you?
Got 2022 in the books, and start 2023 off.
Yeah, 2022 was a loser year. I'm sure 2023 is going to be much better.
Well, there's lots of potential in 2023.
You have bad years so many in a row, and you got to get good again. We had Santa Claus rally in the stock market for the last 7 years. This year is the first year that we didn't get a Santa Claus rally.
With 2023, it'll be better, and I know it will. Like I said, we can only have so many bad ones in a row, so hopefully everything will come together, and it'll be a great year, not just a good one, but a great one.
So, Hartwell, are you on the Georgia side or the South Carolina side?
I'm on the Royston side of Hartwell, about 150 yards out of the city limits toward Royston on 29.
We were coming up from Florida the beginning of this week, and we had a choice of whether to go through Jacksonville or come up through Atlanta. We took Jacksonville.
Atlanta at all costs. I've never had a good trip through Atlanta. I've traveled it many, many times. I got to go actually the end of the month for a conference at Emory University. And looking forward to the conference, but not being in the middle of downtown.
I do the same thing. I avoid it, you know, as much as I can, but I can't always avoid it. When I was ready for my upgrade, my license to extra, when I was ready, I was ready. And I pulled up the map of where all the test places were and who was testing that weekend, and Atlanta was the only one. So I went down to Atlanta voluntarily to take my extra test, and got in there. 15 minutes later, I was on my way back home.
I'm studying for my extra right now, and my club in Athens test on the even month, so February, first week in February, I hope to get my extra upgrade.
Enjoy it. I had to do it because I was just too excited, and I couldn't stay out of the extra portion of the band, and I knew to stay out of trouble, I had to upgrade.
I've slipped in there a couple of times by mistake, and people were very gracious in their scolding of me, very nice about it. But, yeah, I'm ready to get that extra ticket where I don't have to worry about that. And also, I'm a VE, so that'll give me the chance to do all the exams. So I'm just... looking forward to it. I've been listening to a book on tape or on my phone, rather. And I got a book I'm starting to read through now. So it's going to be some learning, some memorization, but, hey, I'll take it any way I can get it.
When I got my ticket, I took my first three tests together, the novice, the CW, and the general, and passed all of those in my first session, and then stayed on that for a year. And the last 6 months of that year, I was studying for my extra and doing ham radio like I'd never done it before. And the guys were really gracious with me, too, when I was transmitting out of band on doing SoScan TV. I was transmitting pictures, and they were transmitting pictures back, and the last picture I got was a picture of an alligator waving to me saying, "See you later, alligator." And I thought, wonder why they sent me that. And then I looked at the band frequency, and I couldn't even say goodbye. I couldn't even key up again to say goodbye, and I said, I've got to go get my upgrade. That's enough of this. This is going to be bad if I keep doing this. W4DJW.
If you're in the radio, you need to just go ahead and get the extra. I got my general 2 years ago, and I've been studying about a month and a half listening to that book on Audible as I drive back and forth to work. I got an hour commute each way every day, so I take advantage of that to listen to the book on audio and get some learning out of the process. Sometimes I'll listen to crazy sci-fi books, but most of the time I try to do something that'll actually give me some benefit. And now that I'm reading that book, it's just the questions and only the correct answers, not multiple choice, so just trying to get it all sunk in. M4 WHM.
Commute from Greenville, South Carolina to Charlotte, North Carolina. Hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, depending on what time you left, how early you left. It got longer as you waited longer. But when I was doing CW, I did the same thing. I had a program that would send me CW. I could scrape text out of a browser and, like, what's the latest news? Scrape it out of the browser, pop it into a text edit window, and then while I was in the shower, I'd write that to a CD because there weren't any DVDs there weren't any MP3s. There was just DVDs or CDs, the writable CDs. And then I'd pop that in the car on the way up to Charlotte, and I would listen to it and with ever-increasing speeds to hear what the news was. So by the time I got to work, I knew what the daily news was, and I had practiced Morse code all the way to work.
Way to do it. I like that. I've got a book here laying on my desk about CW and I'll try to pick that up after I get the extra class, hopefully in February, if not in April. But one way or the other, I'll get both by summer. That's my goal for 2023.
The most rewarding thing I've done so far in ham radio, the most rewarding, is being able to carry on a conversation in Morse code with another person. And, you know, it wasn't that fast. I think on a good day I could get 24 words a minute, and on a bad day I couldn't even make 18. So it's very, very different. It's, you know, depending on whether you've had a good night's sleep, or, you know, whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood, or on cloud nine, or, you know, down in the dumps. But being able to interact with a machine like that and send code and pick that code up and send it back, that's probably the most rewarding thing I've found with ham radio.
Yeah, people talk about it, and it's one of those things that you just, I guess if you're into the hobby, you just want to be able to be into the hobby, and that's part of it. So I'm looking forward to learning that. Tom in Zero TR, he gives me a hard time because I hadn't picked up Morse code yet. So, but the hopefully soon.
Speaking that language now long enough now that he speaks that as well as we speak English. I'll never be as good at him at Morse code as Tom is. He's been doing it for a long, long time, and that's what it takes. That's the same way with any foreign language. Any foreign language, if you don't use it, you lose it. Morse code's the same way. To stay good at it, you got to continually do it.
It's a perishable skill, and you gotta use it or you'll lose it. No doubt there. Are you gonna be involved in Winter Field Day?
About that at the meeting on Monday. Monday night, we agreed at the last club meeting that we would participate, and we've got a spot now, and Johnny checked with the owner, and he said it's okay, so now it's the logistics. See how good we are at logistics, getting it set up and doing it. I'm looking forward to, our club used to do tons of things like that all the time. I mean, everybody was just always into it. I mean, we'd have 30 or 40 people turn up at an event, and it'd be huge, and everybody'd have a good time. We've got to get that back again.
I'm doing with the Athens Radio Club over at Athens, Georgia, and we're going to go to Watson Mills State Park, and we've got a couple of cabins rented, and we're going to do the POTA activation on Friday. And then Saturday at 2, we'll start the Winter Field Day. And we got about 20 people signed up that's going to be there round the clock, so we can do the 24-hour operation. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We did the same thing last year, and it was fun, no doubt. M4WHM.
Dedication. We did it again. I think we had our first field day in a while with this summer's field day, and we had a good time. We had a good turnout too. It's a lot more work to get all that stuff restarted than if you've got it running and you've got, you know, regular people that do regular stuff that know what they've got to do, and everybody just gets it done. Reassembling all that takes a little extra energy, you know.
It takes commitment from several people to get it together and make sure it's going to be a good event. We got some more up. We got about 20 operators, and then we got a few people that are just coming in to bring food or snacks and things like that. So it's a good time to just hang out and play on the radio, no doubt. Hey, quick question. On the membership, do I need to just do the renewal, or do I need to fill out the membership form again?
Yeah, that's it. If you do the renewal, then, and I just finished a batch of 10 ID cards that got sent out, so if you do a renewal anytime soon, you're going to be the first of the next batch of eight.
Here in just a few minutes, I'm a member of about five clubs, and when we started talking, I went, oh goodness, I hadn't done my renewal yet, so I'll do that. I'm on the website now looking at it, and get that taken care of. I like to support the club since I talk on the repeater.
Appreciate it. And, yeah, it is that time of year. I had to do the same thing with my airplane. I'm a member of a couple of airplane clubs and a couple of radio clubs, or ham radio clubs. So I think I've got everything renewed but one. You know, and then you go through half the year and you think, did I ever renew that? It's hard to remember. It's best for me to do them all at one time, just make sure I get them all.
I don't know how I missed this one. I did most of them right before Christmas, and somehow or another I didn't do this one, but hey, we're getting it taken care of.
KF4MRA. Hey, DJW, this is Fred, KF4MRA. Just heard you guys talking about renewals, so I need you to just go on there and renew mine.
Affirmative. Yeah, you don't have to fill out any paperwork or any application or anything like that. Just go in there and renew it. Just pick the renew option, and you're good.
To jump in. You gentlemen to carry on. I'm just sitting here monitoring and playing HF58. This is KF4MA. We'll be mobile monitoring.
Sorry, that FT8. I know that's a lot of fun, too. Go ahead, Bill. W4DJW.
Just remember my password. I guess I'll just have to reset my password, but I'll get this renewed and be all good for another year. And the one of these days, I'm gonna come over and make a meeting, meet everybody in person.
Well, that would be good. And we are meeting at the Red Cross building now again for the first time this month. January, the first Monday in January. So we got back into the old building where the audio-visual will work for both the people in the virtual meeting and the people in the physical meeting. So you'll get to see everybody. We have more attendance when we have both, when we set it up so you can attend virtually or on-site, whichever way, whichever you wish. And that password thing, Marie and I both had that same problem. I didn't remember mine either, but I tried to use my email address as my username, and that didn't work. I had to use my username was my call sign. And when I put my call sign in there, my browser remembered my password for me, and I made it right through it. So you may have done something similar to that. You think it might have been the email address for the username, but it might have been your call sign or something different. And then your browser can remember it if you choose to let your browser remember that for you.
I don't remember what I put in, so I'm just going to try to reset it and see what happens there. Hopefully, I'll get it squared away here in a few minutes and have this taken care of in 2022 for 2023 in 4WHM.
W4DJW to KF4MRA.
Go ahead, Fred.
Can you just check whenever you have time and let me know what's good?
It would be at the top of the list for the next batch of eight. When I get eight total, then I print them all out, laminate them, and cut all the cards out. That way I don't have to do, you know, if you got 100 to do, you doing them one at a time is a lot more work than doing 100 all at once.
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. Just, you've got my email. Send me an email for good. And we'll go from there. KF4MRA.
Will do, no problem. Enjoy that FT8, W4DJW.
Did the reset password, and we'll see what happens here in a few minutes once I get the email. So, M4WHM.
That's where I didn't get an email. That's what my problem was. As I said, send me my password reset. And I used my email address as a username to send me my password reset. Well, it didn't know my email address, so it never sent me anything. And then I thought, maybe I used my call sign. And when I put my call sign in there, then it sent it to me.
Right, to here in a few minutes. It says wait up to 10 minutes, so I'll give it 10 minutes and see what happens, and if that don't square it away, then I'll try my call sign.
Okay, just wanted to let you know, because Mary had that problem and I had that problem. She was able to reset hers once I put my call sign in. The browser remembered my password, so I didn't have to reset mine. So it's worked both ways for her and me. Anyway, we both made it through it after we figured out what was going on there.
Radio equipment from Santa Claus this year?
In the room in my shack for another radio. I got way too many. I built a whole bunch of Soft Rocks and Genesis and whole SDR radios, and before that I bought a bunch of radios, and there's just no room for any more radios in my shack. So I got a really good book for Christmas, A Starry Messenger. Have you heard of it?
Tell me about it.
It's by Neil deGrasse Tyson. I like those scientists that are out there, and he is out there. And it's a humorous book, but it's also a serious book. It enlightens you to be able to think about things differently than you think about them. And so I enjoy that. When I got that book, I spent the next day, I read the first four chapters in one day.
Yeah, that Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a... interesting character. I like to follow him on social media and listen to his stuff online. I hadn't heard of that book, though. I'll have to Google it and check it out.
And you learn stuff about the author when you read the books that you don't really learn about when you see them where they have to be behaving themselves. In their book, they can let their hair down a little bit, and that's what he does. And that's why I like the book. But anyway, I am in the driveway, went and got our monthly Schlotzky's meal, and we're going to eat some Schlotzky's. I'm starving. Good talking to you, Bill. I enjoyed it. W4DJW.
JW, this is M4WHM. Enjoy that sandwich, and we will talk to you soon. M4WHM monitoring.
TR.
WHM.
And salutations there, and Happy New Year here coming up, Bill. Nice to hear you. I just come in from getting the mail. We had a little shower around here today, just a few minutes ago, I guess. How's your day?
Going good. We had a little shower about an hour ago. Been misting off and on, but other than that, it's a good day. Had to change a ballast and a light bulb in the kitchen. It went out, so I run down to the hardware store and got it. That was, it was easy to change, but aggravating. M4WHM.
What kind and what size bulb was it, Bill?
There's four fluorescent bulbs in it, and it was just a little small ballast. I took the old one down to the hardware store and changed it. It was just the height of the kitchen and my height and standing in a chair. I was kind of bent over, so it was just aggravating. It was easy enough to change. It didn't take but a few minutes, but it's working fine now.
Oh, there isn't, Bernie. It's just over on the table. It's in Gerald TR. Well, good. I had to change one in a ballast quite some time ago, or maybe it was just the bulb. I don't remember now. It's been so long. But there's a 20-watt one up above the sink. It's kind of behind the trim up there where you don't see it. And, oh, it makes all the difference in the world when you're over there at the sink on a cloudy day or something, or dark. And it's getting harder and harder to find a standard fluorescent light that was like, for example, the 4-foot F40 T12 CWs. Now they're all T8s or smaller. And they're making less and less of them. And, of course, if I replaced it, I'd put an LED in. But sound like you got her done. I used to replace I've replaced hundreds of ballasts, and most of them over in this, when I worked at that large machine shop, we had 300,000 square feet, but those are all big, you know, 400,000 watt bulbs. But they built a new building that was 30,000 square feet for a similar building, and they used that spray-on insulation. And over time, it all fell. And in not very long, it started falling. And it was a mess when you get up there on a scissor lift to change out a ballast. And they were all 277 volt, which is one phase of 480 and a neutral. And, boy, sometimes you'd reach in there, and those son of a guns were so hot, they'd fry your fingers.
I say a little bit different, my kitchen light. I tell you, the hardest thing I had doing was getting all those wires from the ballast folded back up and inside that little squeeze cover. That was the most aggravating part.
I know what you're talking about. Most of those of that nature are old, like 18-gauge solid wire, and you can actually make a handful and then kind of twist them together, Bill, and it doesn't hurt anything in order to make them fit up in there. Tell you a funny story. We used to have a welder. His name was Charlie England, and you'd walk by him, and if it was a nice, hot, and sweaty summer day, he was welding, stick welding, and he'd reach out there and touch you with the end of that welder, and it was 80 volts open circuit. And, man, he'd wake you right up. You wanted to kill him. And they just laughed. They thought that was funny. Well, I don't like to be shocked. I'm an electrician. So one day I was over there, and I was on the scissor lift right where he was working. And I pulled out one of those. They were 1,500 milliamp. And they were 96-inch bulbs, Bill, and there'd be two of them per fixture on that 277 volts. So I'd use a nut driver, and I'd reach up there and pull them out, and I'd just grab them by the wires after I cut them loose. I'd grab them by the wires so I didn't have to grab them because they'd burn you through your gloves. And so Charlie England was down below there, and I let the scissor lift down a little bit. I said, Charlie, would you throw that over there on one of them Weidag coal dryers for me? He says, oh, sure, Tom. I got to tell you, Bill, it didn't take him all day long to look that over because he took his welding gloves off to grab it.
As bad as getting the little condenser out of an old car, charging it up, and handing it to somebody and letting it pop them.
One day I was in the electric shop and I had to take care of at least 9 time clocks. I'd have to count them in my head. And the master clocks were great big ones there at the front. So everybody had to come through that area and punch in. Well, I knew this one guy was a big fisherman. Him and I had always talked back and forth about what fish we caught and this and that. So I was in the electric shop one day, and I had my Heathkit capacitor checker that I had built. I give that away before I moved down here. I kind of wish I'd have kept it, but you don't use them very often. And they got other ways of checking them now. This is one of those ones with the cat's eye in it, you know. And anyways, I knew Bob was coming in, Bob Keller. And so when he come through the door, I had a 0.5 microfarad, and I had laid the wires back on top of each other with just a little separation. And they're about 2 inches long and half inch in diameter when you get up to that voltage. So I charged it up to 600 volts. And when he come through the door, I said, hey, Bob, look at this new plug I got. You might want to try it. And I threw it to him. And as a horseplay always winds up, he grabbed it. It nailed him, which it's not a lethal shock by any means. It just stings. But he dropped his darn glass thermos jug and broke it. And he was coming in on night shift. I really felt bad.
Keep on horsing around. That'll get you, that's for sure. But it's still fun most of the time. And poor WHM.
This is in Gerald GR. Well, I bought him a new thermos jug, but he'd never trust me again, but they had pulled stuff on me, so it was turnabout was fair play. shoot. But the risky part was he was the son of the executive vice president in charge of production on Mahogany Row there at the company.